world today. And so, and what is it costing us? Well, it's costing us where we are right now. That's what it's doing. I mean, the position we're in now, it's in, I've said this 100 times if I hadn't said it once, but the reason we are in the position we're in is not because of the ungodly. It's because of the church. And so shame, shame, shame on our leaders. You know, and you know, I think that God is allowing, he is allowing this because of the free moral agent that he gave to man, not only to the Christian, but to the non-Christian. So we have the ability to make our decisions. And so this is the transition. Don't think that by 1 second that God has left us, though. He never leaves, never forsakes. And so what's going on is God is allowing this to happen, and there is a percentage of the church that are waking up. And they're starting to see, you know, what this stuff that's going on. Now, what we need to understand is what has precipitated this. What has brought this about? What's brought it about is our lack of effect on our culture. And where is the foundation of that? Well, basically, the foundation is in the house. But you know what? In the corporate arena, it's in the house of God. And so, you know, I've continued this scripture study to show yourself approved. Workman who does not need to be ashamed, but rightly divides the word of truth. This has been a scripture that has been a part of my life for many decades. So, as a matter of fact, 40 years. 40 years, the Lord spoke this to me, and I took it personal. And so that's, I began to study, and therefore you get to listen to Rick. Now, whether it's good or not, just want you to know that I've done a lot of studying. And so I've taken this to heart. And so this, you know, used to, in our churches, we had what you call Christian education, better known as Sunday school. You know, that was, I mean, that was critical for the discipleship of the believer. This was a part of it. So now how many churches have what you call Sunday school? And you know, what else have we done? Well, you know, we're not getting a whole lot of participation on Sunday night. And so, you know, let's eliminate that one too. And instead of Sunday night and Sunday school, what we're going to do is we're going to have home cell groups. And am I against home cell groups? Absolutely not. But not as a substitute of the structure that's in the church. And so what I'm seeing in these home cell groups is that there's little to no accountability. Now, I'm on my soapbox this morning, you guys, because I've seen it. And I prayed and prayed and prayed because I seen it happening in the church I was attending. And, you know, I'm thinking, Lord, you know, we got to do something, you know. And you know, basically I'm praying to the praying for the leader and saying, you know what, open his eyes, you know, whatever. And, you know, so I mean, I prayed. It wasn't just a Lord help us. It was one of those, like, I used to walk around the church for an hour every Sunday evening praying for the church and praying for all everything I'm seeing going on, because I didn't know the full effect of what was going to happen, but where we are is that effect. And so the reason that we need to study to show ourselves approved is so that we can be prepared when the trial, when the temptation, when the difficulty comes. And so, you know, so what has happened is we see what you call an awakening in the church. And not only in the church, and in people. People are being awakened. I love Mario Murillo. I listen to him on the Flashpoint. and he's an evangelist. He's going to go out there and tell people about Jesus, get people saved, you know. And he says that it is incredible the hunger that are in people now, that they're wanting what we have. And so he says, it's greater than anything I've ever experienced, you know. And so this is something that if we're not prepared for, we're not going to see it. And so what have we been focusing on? I'm rambling here, so if you're taking notes, it's going to be hard to take notes. But what are we focusing on? We're focusing on the trouble in our world. We're focusing on the imposition to our lives. We're focusing on this person doing that and that person doing this, and therefore it's not just it's your decision thing. It's I've made a decision and you need to make that decision too. And it's on both sides, you guys. Let's see. I mean, obviously I'm leaning more on one side, but each one of us are pointing fingers at each other. And so what do you think that's from God? You know, because the Pharisees came up, religious leaders, and they said, well, Jesus, you're just doing these works because the devil's giving you the power. Well, Jesus came back at him, and, you know, he was a common sense guy. Oh, for common sense. Oh, Lord, bless us with common sense. Yeah. He came back common sense. He says, well, you know, if a guy is going out to attack another guy, he is not going to give that other guy power or ability in the fight. And so basically then he broke it down. He says, if a kingdom is divided against itself, it shall not stand. So one of the tactics of the enemy, is isolation. And you look at it on the personal level. If you've ever went through a difficult situation and you're trusting God and you're not seeing things turn. And so this is what the devil starts speaking in your ear, giving you those thoughts. It's not going to work out. You're going to fall. You're going to die. Your stuff's going to fail, you know, and before long, I mean, you're worse about the thought than you are about the actual experience. You know, he has the ability to build these things in our mind. Why is that? If he can separate you from the obvious answer, he's already got you. You know, I remember one of these sports terms is, if you can get in your opponent's head, you've got their game. And that is Lucifer's scheme. That is the devil's scheme. And so what we're doing is we are being isolated. And so isolation, we are banding together in our camps. And so we're preparing for battle, so to speak. You know, and so if we look over in Ephesians chapter 6, it says the battle we're facing is not of this world. That's in 2 Corinthians. And so the weapons we fight with can't be of this world either. So the point I'm trying to get to, and I've drug it out, but hopefully got enough groundwork that you can see where I'm going, that what are we focusing on as the body of Christ? And I'm talking to Christians out there, people that are hungry for answers. If you're not hungry for answers, go listen to somebody else, because it's time for us to be fortified. It's time for us to be equipped. And this is part of it, by studying to show ourselves approved. You know, so we get into all the scriptures that he wants to give us everything we need for the battle we're facing now and the battles in the future. And so if our focus is on the kingdom of this world, is that what we're supposed to be focusing on? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, things would be a whole lot different. So this, number one, you cannot blame God for where we are. God has no part of it. It is because people, and a lot of them ungodly, have made very ungodly decisions because there was no resistance to those decisions. These decisions have been implemented into everyday life. And so what we're seeing now is because the church wasn't there to oppose. You might say, well, why couldn't God oppose it? Because God gave the responsibility of this earth to man. Now, he didn't distinguish it and say, well, I'm going to give it to the ones who follow me, but the ones who don't, well, they don't have any right. No, he gave it to all men. And so the buffer for this in this world is the church. So I want to get into something here real quick, just because Holy Spirit's reminded me. Over in, I can't remember. It's Matthew or Luke. But Jesus brings up a couple of, he's talking about the end times, and he brings up a couple of examples, biblical examples. And he says that the flood did not occur till Noah and his family was on the ark and the door was shut. And then he repeats it in the next example. He said that fire and brimstone did not rain on Sodom and Gomorrah until Lot and his family were removed. And so what does that mean? Now, I mean, he's talking about end times. And so what we're seeing in our world is just a little bit of what the Great Tribulation is going to be like. It's just it's kind of a taste of what it's going to be like. So what are the ungodly leaders I'm telling you, the battle is really between two spirits. It's the spirit of Christ, which is Holy Spirit, and the spirit of Antichrist. Now, neither of these spirits, and I'm saying, yes, God, can do anything unless there's a vessel to flow through. Why? That's the way God set it up. He created this world. He set man here, and he says, I'm giving you the responsibility. Does that mean God's completely hands off? No. What it does mean is in 2 Chronicles, it says, For the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the earth, seeking those whose hearts are turned towards him, that he might show himself strong on their behalf. And so we see this over and over again. How was God able to affect this world? Because somebody stood up. Somebody made a decision. I want to do it God's way. Now, in the past, we see it wasn't a lot of people. I mean, in some cases, it was one, as in Noah. But he stood up, and therefore God could execute the judgment on this earth. Now, I'm just rambling here. But do you have something, Dad, sweetie? You guys have something to add on what we're talking about? I get fired back up again. I just have a little spot there. Monica's contemplating.
In Psalms 23.
Yeah.
Psalms 23:5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God created us. He created Monica. He knows what I like. because he created me. Mm-hmm. So I have a beautiful table that he's prepared in the middle of my enemies. Now I have a choice to come and sit in my chair at the table he's prepared for me with all these fine foods. And when I make the choice to sit at the table that he has prepared for me, he comes and he sits at that table with me. And I have another choice to make. I can fix my focus on him and enjoy it, or I can be distracted and sidetracked by everything around me that my enemies are throwing at me. Or, forgive me, Lord. Or I can be one of those. Oh God, what a beautiful table that you have prepared for me in the middle of my enemies. But you know, I got to go over here and do this. And I got to go over here and do this. And I have to have this done by this time. But this is really good. You know what I like. You have prepared such a beautiful table. So, oh yeah, that's a good pick. Can I get a pick of you, Lord? Sitting at the table that you prepared for me that I ain't got time to sit at? Oh, look, I've already got 5 likes on this one. Oh, she said it's a beautiful table and that food looks wonderful. How many of us is doing that? That's what he was putting on my heart.
You know, what a great, great example. You know, so what I want to do is I want to honor our sponsors right now, Neva, and let's come back to this. You think about it.
I have some prayer requests I'd like to share first before we go to the sponsors. This first one is for the family of Andrew Maples, as they say their final goodbyes to him today. His celebration of life service is at 2:00 in Burns Flat at the high school auditorium. He went to be with the Lord way too young, under 30 years old. I don't know exactly how old. Just took sick, had COVID, didn't make it. A story sort of like my son, you know, just here today, gone tomorrow. So let's pray for that family with this time where they're going through such a time as this. We want to pray for the family of Jerry Harrison, who passed to his final resting place yesterday. And then I would ask you to continue to pray for Susan Mabry, who's still in the hospital in Oklahoma City. She had to have some surgery on her brain about a month ago, and so she was in the hospital a while with that. She got out, and then a few days ago, she was really sick through the night, and her husband took her back to St. Anthony's, and she has an infection. They opened her back up again and cleaned out the infection, and they're waiting for test results right now on whether the staph infection has gone throughout her body or, you know, any place else. But she had a pretty good night before last, he said, but last night was fair, and then she got sick at her stomach again, and so we just need to remember them.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Father, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for your goodness, Lord God, that you are nearer to the brokenhearted, Lord God. And we lift up, Lord God, the family of Andrew to you, Lord God. What a devastating experience, Lord God. But we know, Father, that you are more than able. Father, I speak comfort over them, over their minds and their hearts. I pray, Lord God, for a reconciliation in their minds. I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord God, that you are one not to hide information, Lord God. And I pray that the information would be disclosed in a way that brings comfort to those that mourn. I thank you for it. Thank you, Lord God. I pray. I thank you for your provision over the family members, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. I give you praise. And Father, we lift up the family of Jerry's family, Lord, and Holy One. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. I pray, Father, that you clear up the blocked places, Lord God, the areas where in understanding and in hope and Lord, specifically in direction. I pray for this family in Jesus' name. I just pray your peace be upon them and that your hope be instilled in their hearts. I thank you. Pray that you raise up the spokesmen in the family, Lord God, that would speak your word, that would speak life. I give you praise. And Father, we lift up Susan to you, Lord God, and we curse that. We curse that, whatever it is, in Jesus' name. That infection, whatever that is, we curse it. We command it to go back to where it came from in Jesus' name. The cause of the disease, Lord God, we speak to it that it would generate and operate the way that God built that body to. We give you praise. I speak hope into the situation. I speak life into the situation. And I thank you more than enough. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Before you start playing the recorded commercials, I want to tell you a little bit about Grant's Auction. They have an online auction that has started Monday, and it's going to go through February 7th. And to get to that, you go to grantsauction.hibid.com, and they are auctioning off the remainder of things at H&H Electronics, over 200 lots that they have. There's some neat antique things. There's some RCA collectibles, and Randy is even allowing them to auction off the pieces that he has made, which are absolutely incredible, the metal art that he makes. If you were never by H&H to see any of that, Randy Haggard is quite an artist, and he has some wonderful pieces. So just wanted to throw that in. We'll play their recorded commercial in just a minute, but I wanted to share that with you. You can see their ad. Probably it's already in the Penny News this week. It'll be in the Elk City newspaper this Friday. Or you can go online, grantsauction.hibid.com, and see the items that are on there.